Father, we just thank you, Father, that you are a Lord of freedom, and that you're a God of intimate detail, Father. And we just ask tonight that you would open us up our ears and our eyes, so that we can listen and so that we can see, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's have a seat. Thanks, Francois. Francois really has an anointing when he worships. Thanks, Francia. Good evening, everyone. Most of you know me. I'm Cornell. I'm Almost wife. Welcome to our visitors. It's lovely to have you. Always welcome here. I would first like to mention, like I said this morning, that I'm not a preacher. I'm not a theologian. Didn't practice that one at home. I'm actually, I don't have a degree in theology, so I can't answer any difficult questions. Nee. I'm, like Francia said, I'm an OT, actually. I studied occupational therapy, so that's how my brain is wired. But my husband is actually the pastor, and I'm just going to make the same jokes as I did this morning. Is that all right? So, last night... I think his humanity, like his sinful nature came to the front, and he just said that he doesn't feel like preparing a sermon, so I must, you know, get with the program. So here I am just submitting, as a good wife does. That was just a joke. What is not a joke is that yeah. I don't have a degree. I really feel that I can hear the Lord's voice like everyone else here can. And back in the day, when Omar and I, when we were still dating, he used to irritate me so much when he said that, "You're going to preach one day. You're going to preach one day." And I was like, no, I don't really have any desire to stand in front of people and to preach. I just want to be myself. But actually, last night when I was preparing, the Lord, what he said to me was so precious. He said, "Do you know what? Tomorrow morning, when you give your sermon, I'm not only going to use the words to sort of speak to people, but I'm going to use you just as you are. You come with whatever jokes you make. You come just as yourself, and that is the message." So I was so encouraged that, sure, the Lord uses anyone that's willing, even a donkey. So, and before Paul was Paul, he was Saul. And you can put this up a bit. He persecuted the church, as you know. He killed Christians. So after I read that, I was thinking, okay, I feel a bit better now. Not killing Christians, but I can stand here and preach. and then maybe there's some of you, I just have to mention this, almost not here, but he's looking after Nicholas, but I'm sure he can hear me. back in the day, Omo will tell you that he actually had a problem to receive from women, from a lady. He just didn't think that he could really learn anything from a lady. He wanted, you know, he wanted the man to stand up there and to talk to him. And so when Lucille used to stand in the front and preach, it was almost as if he sort of sighed in himself and actually wanted Fred to preach. But then, luckily, he got saved since then, and he repented to Lucille, and now he's more than willing to actually receive from any woman, because he knows that anyone can hear the Lord's voice. Okay, now the thing that the Lord laid on my heart tonight is not something that we talk about a lot, or we don't really focus on it a lot in church, but I really believe that the Lord looks at us in a holistic way. So what that means is that for him, it's priority to not only, that we not only look after our spirits, our spiritual lives, but also our physical bodies and then also our soul, which is then also divided into our will, emotions, and our mind. And so what happens in charismatic churches, it's a sort of like a danger. What we do is we over-spiritualize situations or just our lives. And we do that, well, I do that sometimes, because you want to sort of escape from reality. So you forget about your body and all its actual needs, and also your soul and its actual needs. And then what happens, the result of that is the following. We can't get victory in our physical bodies, and we can't get victory in our sort of soul dimension. So physically, let's use a few examples that I thought about. Maybe you can think of more. We can't get victory over constant sort of illnesses. We're just never healthy in our bodies. And then we give them business, the doctors. No, I'm just kidding. Doctors are from the Lord, by the way. In our physical, maybe we struggle with our weight constantly. Or we just have an issue with exercising, or our physical bodies are just not sort of, it's something that you sort of hide away from the Lord because you don't want him to touch that part of you. And then what happens also to the soul dimension is emotionally you struggle. You struggle to act out of an emotionally, how do you say it, sort of mature place. And also you constantly struggle with your relationships. So it's sort of as if we got into that place of where our character is not fully developed. And our character is described as, you know, those things that should be done, but you don't feel like doing. You know those things? I've got some of those things. And I'm not saying that if you don't make your bed, then you don't have character. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that if it's a pattern in your life, then maybe God still wants to develop our character. Stuff like, for example, in my life that I used to see back in the day and sometimes now as well, people can't rely on you, or you're always late for everything, or your yes is just not your yes. Your no is just not your no. That's just sort of the result of, I sort of identified the problem, and then I saw the result of not giving our physical bodies the attention that it needs, and also not our soul dimension. Okay, so that's what I'm going to focus on tonight. I'm just going to focus on the body, the physical body. Our bodies are amazing. Did you know that? A few interesting facts before we continue. I did a bit of research, so I hope you'll enjoy this. I can't remember the exact source. I can give it to you maybe. I can email it to you if you really want to verify it. For the first time in history, there are just as many people who are experiencing health problems due to the effects of overfeeding than malnutrition. So while millions of people go hungry, there are just as many people who have problems with being overweight. Then, 7 out of 10 Americans are overweight, and 61% of South Africans are overweight. Diabetics and heart diseases, and they call these sort of diseases lifestyle illnesses, are killing more people worldwide than contagious diseases. Aansteeklike siektes. It's nogal huge for me geweest om dit to read that. So, when we see what the world says about what's going on in the stats, then we always go back to what the Word says. So I want you to turn with me if you have your Bibles with me, or otherwise you can look on the slides. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 to 20. It says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." There's something that was really interesting to me when I read this, and Armo explained this to me, is that Paul wrote this letter to the people of Corinthians, die mense. And you must understand now, these people, they've never been Christians. They've never been Jews. They were what you call Gentiles. So they came out of a place where they most probably have already been in a temple before. It just hasn't been a Christian temple before. So they maybe went to the temple of Baal or any other idols. So then Paul said to them, but when you follow Christ and when you lay down your life and when you have a relationship with him, then your body should actually be a temple of God. And they were like, wow, that's huge. And then what I did, I sort of looked up the meaning of temple. So what is a temple? And I went to Wikipedia. And I just want to read one or two words for you that stood out. It's a structure reserved for religious or spiritual activities, such as prayer and sacrifice. And then the other thing, it was a building associated with the dwelling places of a god or gods. And that's what Wikipedia said. So then we can thus say that our bodies are a house, our bodies, your body is a house of God. It's a place of sacrifice. It's a place of worship. It's a place of thanksgiving. It's a place of respect. Because when you go into a temple, the first thing most people do is they take off their shoes. It's a place of sacredness. And what was interesting to me was it's a dwelling places of a god or gods. So it is up to us what we allow our bodies to be a place of dwelling for who or for what. And Bill Johnson said it nicely. He said, we will become like that which we worship. So that sort of put it into perspective for me. So with that in mind, I want us to continue to read the whole part of that scripture. So because when we take a piece of scripture out of a long chapter, then you always have to go look what did Paul say before he said that verse and what did he say afterwards. So I'm just going to read 1 Corinthians 6 verse 12 to 20. I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. You say, food is for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. The body is, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So, his whole sort of reference where it came from was sexual immorality. So, that's the focus sort of of the scripture. But we're not going to go into sexual immorality tonight. We can go on the whole night with that. We're just going to focus on the practical, on the body. So I want to ask some of you, how do you think we can honor God in our bodies? Do you guys have any sort of practical ideas before I give my ideas? A tattoo, yeah. I didn't think of that one. Thanks, listener. We're going to come to that point. So these are my ideas, or what I got out of the word. Firstly, our bodies belong to God. It says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13b, God cares for our bodies. We don't really read that a lot. We read a lot of spiritual stuff, but we don't read that God actually cares for our bodies. We don't own our bodies. We didn't make it ourselves. So what will the world tell you about your body? The world will say, it's your body. Do with it what you want. Do whatever makes you happy. Use it because it's yours. It's not anyone else's, which is true. But I think what the world does, it gives you sort of a narcissistic, selfish way of thinking about everything. So what they do is they bring out books that says 10 steps to happiness. And happiness is cool and it's from God, but it's not God. So the first point I want to make is our bodies belong to God. And then what the Lord really spoke to me about is that when we speak about stewardship, that we should actually be good stewards of our bodies in the same way as that we are good stewards of our money. The second point I want to make is today we make the same mistake as the philosophers. What's his name? Plato. What is the the planet's name close to the sun? Plato. What? Pluto. It's not Pluto. It's Plato. Got a bit confused there. What I want to tell you about the philosophers is they believed in dualism, like D-U-D-U-A-L, and they believed that you're fine just with your mind or your spirit, and that you don't need your body. Because they believe that your body doesn't have any spiritual significance for you. And they actually believe that your body was inherent evil. Okay, so and some of our friends and people in the world, we do think like that at sometimes. Then Jesus paid for our bodies when he died on the cross. Our bodies have been bought by a price. Now, I don't know if some of you, I didn't know about these programs, but in this morning service, some people actually did. Do you guys know the programs American Pickers and Porn Stars? Not P-O-R-N, P-A-W-N, porn, like, yeah. So in these programs, what you do, apparently, is you must guess how much an antique item is worth. So, for example, if you have a very old table that you want to sell, you first have to guess what it is worth. And then what is interesting is that the owner, usually, he never gets it right. He can never guess it right because your table or your antique or your item or whatever is actually just as much worth what the buyer is prepared to pay for it, because then the guy buys it, because that's how the program works. I haven't seen it. It's like when you sell your house, you think it's worth 1 million, but it's actually only worth the price that the buyer is gonna pay for it. That's how much it's worth. So Jesus gave his whole life for our bodies, and when I think of it in that way. Okay, so my body is not my own, so it was bought, so I'm actually just borrowing it. So I don't know if your parents were as strict as mine, but they, you know, my mom always sort of banged it into my head that when you borrow something from someone, you must give it back in the same condition. She told me that over and over again, and I never did it with my brother and sister, but I learned the hard way. It's like when I take my kids to the library and they take out the library books, I'm so scared that they're going to tear a page out of it or damage it that I sort of hide it in the closet and then only bring it out for story time. But that's sort of the same. We should think about our bodies, that we're actually just borrowing it. Then God's Spirit lives in our bodies. So when we allow the Lord in our hearts, then his spirit comes in automatically. It's that scripture that says you know, the Spirit of the Lord cries out, Abba, Father. And so our bodies are automatically a temple of God. So when you see someone throwing a stone at the church or spray painting a temple or one of the beautiful cathedrals overseas, would you say that it's a crime? Or would you like to report them? It's almost like vandalism, isn't it? So that's how I sort of connected with my body. And the ways that we do misuse our bodies, or we do sort of vandalize it in a sense, is that we don't give it enough rest, or we actually sleep too much. I can't do that anymore because I've got two small children. But or we actually just don't enjoy food for what it is. It's always a battle. It's always sort of like just a thing. It's never, we don't see food as our friend, we see it as our enemy. Or we sort of have an obsession with food or with exercise or with our weight. So there are a lot of ways that we can say tonight that we misuse our bodies or that we don't care for it. Even in sexual immoral acts. And we can go into the whole thing of that, but that's not my point tonight. My point is that God's Spirit lives in our bodies, and that we sort of, we can vandalize our own bodies. Then, did you know that God will resurrect our bodies when we die? Cool, hey? It says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 14, by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. So, we don't know how our resurrected body will look like, but the fact is, we will have a body. I don't know when, at the end of our lives or in heaven, I don't know. But what is interesting is that Jesus walked around in Jerusalem for 40 days with his resurrected body. He wasn't like just like an angel, or he was walking around in his physical body. Papa Tekken did. Oh, die gaatjies. Ja, tog is my 5 minutes. Ja, you could see the holes in his hands. Which is interesting to me that you could see the holes in his hand, because I would think that God would give him a perfect body. How interesting is that? Maybe he just left the holes in there so that his disciples could recognize him, I don't know. But yeah, that was interesting to me. Right, so I just have a few more points, and then we're actually going to get practical. To take care of your bodies, did you know that it's actually a very spiritual thing to do? Jesus, he was 30 when he went into the ministry. And before that, he was a carpenter. So he made stuff out of wood. And I don't think that's an easy job. I don't think you just sit around and get lazy. I think you actually work quite hard, as I saw it. And so he was preparing his body to carry a very heavy cross to Calvary. I've never thought about it that way. The other thing that I want to touch on is that I feel this message has prophetic urgency, because like everything else in the world, the church is supposed to lead. So the church is actually supposed to lead in the political, also in the economy, and also in health. We live in a stage, and we will know with all our friends, parents, like your listeners, dad, and Marlene, Melissa. A lot of people get sick, and we've got to pray for a lot of people, and I mean, God said it will happen, but it's sort of also as if he's gearing us up to have a bigger platform to speak to the world. So if we, and this brings me to my next point, it's about the credibility of our message. It's about when we say we're Christians and we're following the Lord, then we're saying, you know, We want to live life in full, and we want to have peace, and we want to have that inner peace and not struggle with every little thing. So when we stand here and we say that we give our bodies to the Lord, and we actually sort of an example to the world out there, look, this is how we do it. We don't make it an obsession. We don't make it an issue, but we allow the Lord to actually show health to the world. So it goes together with being prophetic about it and actually doing it, and then also creating for yourself a platform to minister to people and to see that to show people that your message is true and that it's believable, it's credible. The other point that I just quickly want to make is that when we give this area of our lives to the Lord, like we do our spiritual lives, that it's never about us. It's never, like I said before, a narcissistic or a selfish way of, let's go to the gym, let's eat healthy, me, you know, in the mirror, all those guys flexing it up. And it's not about us. It's never been about us. But I believe that God wants to bring healing and freedom every part of our lives, not only spiritual. It's in our bodies, it's in our soul, it's in our emotional maturity, in our emotional wellness, in our relationships, and tonight specifically in our bodies. And then it's never God's intention for us to feel condemned, or it's never God's intention to, when we hear something like this, and you know, it's actually a sensitive topic, did you know that? It's never God's intention to make us feel guilty in such a way that we turn away from God. It's always His intention that we come with our stuff, because we all have stuff. That we come with that stuff and we bring it towards Him and we turn towards Him. And then just to make it practical sort of in our midst, there are really people in our community, in our church here physically, that can lead the way for us, and that's really a good example to make. For example, you guys know Nancy and Gert. You won't know them, but they are, she's a homeopath and he's a chiropractor. But Nancy especially, she's got a really big passion for health and for food. But like lots of food and delicious food and healthy food. And what she also always tells me is that, did you know that food is the greatest medicine that you can find on this earth? It's the greatest medicine because it's from God, if we use it correctly. So Nancy really, she's paving the way forward for us. She's giving Pilates classes, and she's really pulling people in. And that's what I love about people like Nancy. She doesn't use it for her own sort of selfish desires. She's actually really pulling people in by doing what she does, what she loves, which is health and which is food and a passion for food and Pilates and exercise. So, yeah, she was a great example. And then there are people, there are also, I'm not going to mention names, people here that has only recently started going to the gym with a personal trainer. And I'm seeing her every now and then, I'm seeing her in the gym. And I have respect for people like her because she doesn't use excuses. She goes to the gym 6 o'clock in the morning. She told me she actually told the guy not to speak to her in the morning, which I thought was pretty rude. But at least she's honest, and she goes there and she never misses him and her appointment. But you know what? She took the faith that she had, and she put it into action. And that's what I just want to end off. This is what I had to bring tonight. I really feel passionate about this because I believe and I know that God is not a God just of our spiritual lives and of praying and of worshiping. God is a God that He wants to teach us that we can worship Him when we go to work. We can worship Him when we raise our kids, when we go run, when we make food, when we present ourselves to other people. And it's not a thing of works, and that's a cool thing. It's not a thing of works. It's just a thing of being, but putting your faith out there. All right, so this is what I had to share. Just the last thing before we close. I used to run with a friend of mine. He was a pastor there in at Shalom, where Wim Angus is, where I used to work there in the town, in Grey Town. And Simon and I used to go for runs, and he used to beat me really bad, and he really made me suffer. And when we were sort of at when we were almost at the end, he always used to poke me while I even couldn't even breathe. He used to tell me, you know what? This is almost like your, it's like your spiritual life. When you want to give up, or when you're going through hard times, that's what he told me. That's his experience. I know that I've got to push through, and I've got to have spiritual endurance as well, and not only physical endurance. So then he would push me until I almost couldn't do it anymore. And at the end, he used to tell me again, this is why we run, Cornell. It's good for us, but also it teaches us that we've got to work at our spiritual endurance as well. So every time I run, I think of him. When I die, then I, while I'm running.